This subject of chapter 7, the entire chapter 7, actually starts with verse 20 of chapter 6, because it first tells you in the theme. It goes with themes. And the theme of chapter 7 is the same theme as chapter 6, verse 20, which speaks about the immoral woman. And chapter 7 continues with the same idea, except you have, like, in the middle, you have the break for sentence 1 and sentence 2, like starting again. But the whole theme is that a person has to guard himself from falling prey to this, and in that way he ends up losing his present and his future. And this continues into chapter 7. We've been speaking, there's a mushal and there's an imshal. A mushal means about the actual immoral behavior. The nimshal means the various tendencies of a human being, or in Avodah Zarah and other things. The Rambam from Mor Nevuchim says not every word of the mushal has to be applicable to the nimshal. That means that if he compares, let's say, idolatry to adultery, so you have both themes the same, but it doesn't mean that every phrase which is used here in description of an immoral woman has to apply to the nimshal of the idolatry. Meaning, once he's speaking and comparing adultery to idolatry, he could expand perhaps with certain phrases on adultery, although there is no application from these phrases to the concept of idolatry. That means the main theme is the same, but not every description used in describing the breakdown of the morality of the person and his downfall has to be applicable to idolatry, which is a very good idea, because sometimes here you could see that it would be stretching it if you would be taking the phrase and using it also for the nimshal. It fits in very well for the mushal. Dini shemor amoroi. Now he goes further. My son, shemor amoroi, keep my sayings. That means keep the stories of the Torah in your heart. Again, a mitzvah sai titzpon itoch, and hide my mitzvahs with you. This relates where it says ner mitzvah v'torah or. So he repeats again, keep this flashlight and keep this light or the candle with you at all times. Shmor mitzvosai v'achyei, live by keeping my mitzvahs v'sarosi, and my instruction, my Torah, guard ki'ishon einecho, like the black of your eye, meaning like the apple of your eye. We use the expression apple of the eye because the pupil is like dark, the pupil of the eye, right? So therefore it's like the darkness, it's called Ishan Eine. Right? Ishan is dark, but the pupil is dark, so it's called like the darkness of the eye compared to the rest of the eye, even if you have green eyes, but the other part is the white part. So that's called Ki Ishan. And in English, we use that, ki'ishan einecho, something that's very dear, the dearest thing to a person, is the apple of his eye. Koshreim aletz basecho, inscribe them, bind them around your finger. Kosvom aluach libecho, and inscribe that on your heart, on the tablet of your heart. Now, here the idea is the performance of the mitzvahs, like we put on tefillin. So we go around our finger. Or, if you don't say it refers to the mitzvahs, so how would it refer, you know, even in our modern and our vernacular, person wants to remember something, so he puts the string around his finger. So it's like saying, koshrein, tie him around, ales basecho, on your finger, remind yourself that you shouldn't forget something. Kosvein, etch it in, scribe it, aluach libecho. Emor lachochmo achesiyat. You should say unto wisdom that you are my sister. Umode labino tikra. And a landsman, labino tikra, you should call understanding. Meaning this person should always like or love wisdom, what? With an inseparable love, like he loves his sister. He loves his sister, and that's a pure love. So in that way, usually he does, unless there's a sibling rivalry. And therefore, you should love wisdom with that type of a love. And also, as a kinsman. You know, where do you come from? You're a landsman, right? All of a sudden, it's a kinsman. It's a well of love. You could be visiting an art gallery in France, right? And a guy will tell you, he says, man, not necessarily a Jew. And a guy will tell you, where do you live? I live in Wheaton. Oh, I'm from Wheaton. I went to Northwood High School. I used to live in Wheaton. All of a sudden, you feel a certain kinship, right? Closeness. Although you have no shaykhus to the guy. If you walk by him in the street, you surely wouldn't even look at him twice, right? But if you find them there, the term kinsman, in a sense, has some kind of a natural instinctive response, almost like a sister. Also has usually love. So, emel achachma achesiat, umoda, and like a kinsman, lebina tikra. Again, he says, lishmocha meisha zora, to guard you from a strange woman, menochria, from an alien woman, amoreo hachalika, who speaks smoothly. We'll stop here. The idea of guiding her, it seems, is from the strange woman. He used two descriptions, how she seeks to entice you, either by the speech or either by the wink. And both of these we know, that the coquette is, you know, she'll go ahead and she'll speak in this kind of a way, or she'll wink at you, and this can both entice you. So now we'll continue. Lishmorcha meisha zora. Again, if you have wisdom, emel lechachma achesia. This is a famous quote, the first four, which says, say unto wisdom, you are my sister. What does that mean? You should love wisdom, because as with an inseparable love, as one loves a sister. That means that the love of a sister is a natural love. It's something that is inherent in the individual from the first moment. He loves his siblings. Whereas the love of other people who are not of the same flesh and blood, that comes later when he gets to know the person. Here he's trying to say this should be indigenous to the human being, just like emor lechochma. Emor lechochma achesia. That means wisdom should be so part of you, just like the natural love that's inseparable that one has for his sister. Now also, umoda lebino tikra. And umoda, a kinsman, lebino tikra, you should call understanding. You should be at home with understanding, meaning the basic idea that you have to really be at home with. But even how to derive the lesson from that knowledge, you should also be familiar with it, just like you are with a landsman. The concept of feeling at home, this is what he's talking about. So he says, when moda, when the concept of expanding on the actual knowledge, you should have a certain affinity to it. You should have also a certain relationship, just like you have to a landsman. When you think into it, I mean, what is landsmanschaft? That's how the whole idea is. And the truth is, if every person reacts that way when there's a landsman, you know, you do react like you're not alone to a degree. So you should be that familiar with Meida. Now, Emel Chachmi Achesia, the Gemara says in a different quote, a different subject, it says that a person should be as clear in the knowledge of his Torah that just like he knows for sure, there's nobody that questions as of now, there is nobody that questions the fact with all the moral changes taking place. In morality, people still don't marry their sister. So just like a person knows achesiat, the sister is what? Is forbidden. Everybody knows that. So emor lechochma, you have to say to the chochma, also achesiat. That was a wedding, somebody was giving a toast. You know, the kids get up to give toast. So in America, the vernacular, youngsters, they call each other guys. Boys, girls, everybody's guys. So this guy gets up and he says, gives a toast. He says, I want to wish you guys a happy life. So I said, these day and age, you got to be very careful. You can't use that expression. But as of now, nobody has come up yet with lemor lechochma achesia. Everybody knows that a sister is forbidden. So your knowledge in halacha has to be that clear. All right, now lishmocha, now he's going to tell you, if you have all of this and you have it around your ring and you know it clear in your mind and you've engraved it on the tablet of your heart Again, Lishmorcha, this will serve to guard you, Meisha Zora, from a strange woman, Minechio Amoreo Hachaliko. And Minechio meaning that also from an alien woman, Amoreo Hachaliko, who talks very smoothly. Ki Bechaloin, right, a person has his Chochmeh, so he has a natural antenna within him that distances itself from Anisha Zora. Person has to, as we'll see a little bit later, he has to be able to stay away from these types of situations. He says further, Ki Chalon, because if I have wisdom and I look from afar, I could see how a person, he's going to say, who lacks wisdom, is ensnared in a web. Ki Bechalon Beisi, because from the window of my house, Be'ad Eshnabi Nishkoti, looking through the lattice, I see. Eshnabi is also a little place where you could look out of, like if you have lattice work, you could look through the lattice. So Be'ad Eshnabi Nishkofti, I gazed out. And what did I see from my window, right? This is like saying a wise person understands people's deeds through his wisdom. So the wisdom is the window, in a sense. Through his wisdom, he understands the nature of people. Be'ad Eshnabi Nishkofti. Now, Ve'era, what did I see? I saw among the simple people, Psoyim. Psoyim is what? Is a person who's a pesi, who's a fool. Avino Babonim, I was able to understand with my knowledge and wisdom. I looked at people and I understood Babonim amongst these children that are gathered. I was able to pick out immediately from his body language or the way he conducts himself, Nar Chasar Lev, a young man who is lacking soul, meaning lacking spirit, lacking knowledge, lacking sense. Chasar Lev means he's lacking common sense. Means, what does this guy do? Aver Bishuk, this fool and this person lacking wisdom, he passes Bashuk Eitzel Pino, next to a corner. Pino's a corner. The Derech Beisa Yitzod, and he walks on the way to her house. Meaning he would never think, we'll say, of going and actually becoming ensnared in this evil woman. Yet, he likes to walk through a district where he will see these evil women. So that means when he's traveling, he'll drive through a street where he could see a district where there's immorality there. But he figures that this really isn't going to bother him. Eiver Bashuk Eitzel Pino, Bederech Beso Yitzoyed. And he'll walk right by the house. Means if he had any seichel, and he intended someday to run for public office, he wouldn't walk through the same street. How does the Gemara say? Leich, leich, amrinon, nezira. To a nozer you say, go, go, far away. Lekamecha, leisikore. That he shouldn't come close to a vineyard. Although he doesn't intend in any way to drink and to violate his vows of the Nazarite, yet a person should distance himself. So he says, even if we'll say he stops at this point itself shows already a lack of a failing in this individual. B'neshef, he goes in the twilight. Be'erev yayin, in the evening of the day, because that's when the harlot comes out. Right at night, the vultures come out. Be'ishon laila va'afela, in the darkness. Ishon laila means very dark. In the pitch darkness of night. Ishon laila va'afela, in the pitch darkness of the night, he walks out in the twilight. But he comes to her house in the darkness of the night. Ve'ine, what happens is he's walking in the street. It's remarkable the way Shlomo HaMelech presents this here. He is walking, he's not going to her house. He's walking in the street. But v'hine isha likrose. All of a sudden she comes out in the street to greet him. She's zeno, the nakedness of a harlot, meaning she's dressed in a very provocative, immoral manner. Unsuras ablaze, and meaning that her heart is like besieged. What does this mean, her heart is besieged? This person's heart is like besieged with lewdness. In the Tzura Slave, that's what Rashi says, that her heart is as if a besieged city. That means every person really has some purity, or originally had something pure in his soul, in his spirit, but this comes surrounded by this woman, Netzura Slave. It's like the lave, which was of value, is besieged and surrounded by immorality, by thoughts of immorality. Omiyahi, she speaks loudly, thunderly, vesoreres, and also she like jumps around. That means soreres, she is very volatile, now or rebellious. Bebeso layishkenu ragleho, her feet do not dwell in her house, meaning she's not the epitome of a Jewish woman is that we say that the woman is in her house. The idea is tzniyus, yes, but this woman is the contrary to tzniyus. That means v'serares bebeso layishkenu ragleho, she can't sit home, she always goes around and tumbles and hustles and bustles. So really, you see, not necessarily everybody that does that is an immoral person. You don't give her a scarlet letter for that. But you see that this is the beginning of the description. Just like the man, if we take him in juxtaposition, both of these cases, just like the man, we'll say, who doesn't consort with this harlot, but he drives by the street of this district in order to get a look at this harlot. So you'll say this, in a sense, shows the beginning of a breakdown of morality in the person. He's not able to overpower his urges. The same thing will say, not that he's going to commit any violent sin. The same thing is with this woman. The woman may, this is a description of the beginning of the breakdown of her morality. A woman who is very loud and always hustling around and can't sit in her house, always has to be outside, that shows a lack of what we say, the tznius, in the house. That means she's crude, she's the way she speaks and so on, is not, her language isn't refined. Pam bechutz, sometimes you'll find her out in the street. Pam berechovos, sometimes you'll find her in the squares, in the parks. Ve'etzel kol pino, and every corner she is lurking. So then he's supposedly is not going to her house, he's just walking by. But the hechazika bo, she grabs hold of him. The noshko lo, and she kisses him. Heiza preneho, brazenly she speaks to him, v'temalai, and says, she says to him words that will entice him. What does she tell him? Zivchei shlomim oloi hayein. Like I had prepared today, Rashi learns, a great feast, because like I had vows and I had sacrifices to give today. So today I brought all my vows and sacrifices in the altar. I have a lot of extra meat. Please come and participate in this party. Zivchei shlomim oloi hayein shilante nidri. Now, if you notice, she also could even use a religious type of a intonation by saying, not I have a lot of meat at home or wow, whatever, zifrei shlomim, like I brought, you know, a lot of tufel, like I happened to bring all my sacrifices today. Okay, therefore, yatzasi l'klasecho, that's why I really went out to greet you. Not that I have anything else in mind, but I went out to greet you. L'shacher ponecho, to await, look for you, like from shacharis in the morning, like lishacher, to come to you, ponecho v'emtzeeko, and find you. Muvadim ravadati, I have bedecked my couch with covers. Arsi, my bed, chatuves, eton mitzroyim. My bed is braided with the superior work of Egypt. So in a sense, I have adorned my house, like saying that, come up to me to see the adornments. Right, the etchings on the walls. Come up to me to see my adornments, right? Mervadim Govarti Arshi Chatuvos Eton Mitzrayim. I have the finest linens of Egypt, the finest braidery. It's a special work. Now, also, it's very pleasant there. Then, if you notice, she starts going from lesson to lesson. The first thing she entices him would come up and eat the korban shlomo, you'll make a bracha. Then she tells him, I have there the bed made, and the couch has such terrific, beautiful adornments. Then she says, the next step is, Nafti Mishkovi. I put perfumes, like the scent. I fanned the scent over my bed, my couch. It's Mor or Halim V'Kinamon. These are terrific fragrances. So this is already getting to be a little more intimate, step by step. And then the final position is that she seeks to entice him. L'cho Nirved Dodim Ad Beker. Let us satisfy ourselves with consorting together ad aboker until morning. Let us nisalso. Nisalso means to enjoy, yilus. So let us enjoy ourselves be'ehovim, with acts of love. Now it is interesting, the language, because when you take the four sentences, she doesn't immediately go and say, l'cho nirved dodim ad aboker nisalso be'ehovim. She has to entice him. So first she starts going with shlomim, you know what I mean? Anders pastet. Zivcha shlomim olay ayeh. After saying zivcha shlomim, therefore I came to greet you, nothing wrong. Now I also have a beautiful decor in my house, and that's the fragrance is beautiful. Therefore, finally, in Pesach Yud Ches, is l'chon yivet deidim. Now she continues. Shlomo HaMelech depicted it perfectly, right? Yeah. Now then Shlomo HaMelech goes further and he says, Ki ein ha'ish bebeise. Now the husband is not home. Holach bederech mevachei. He has gone away on a far business trip. Now on this, the idea is, the idea of the simple meaning, ein ha'ish, the man. What does the man mean? She doesn't say her husband, because she doesn't look at him as a husband. She has no respect of him as a husband, but he's like the man. The man isn't home. He has gone away. Now others interpret ki ein ha'ish bebeisei. According to the Talmud, the Gemara says, we actually learned this when we were learning Gan Yaakov in Sanhedrin, Ammon and Moab, it said ein ha'ish bebeisei. Right, we'll take a look at the next pasuk where it says it. Sror ha'kesef. He took the bag of money. Tzror means bound together. You tie up when you have a money bag, you tie it up and knot it together. Tzror ha-kesev lokach biyode. He went to do business. So he took, you know, a lot of money, a bundle of money, when he went out to deal in dealings and bring back from this journey. Le'yayim ha-kesev yovei beisei. He'll come back home at a designated time. So like he went overseas, he won't be back until the designated time. So on this point, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, you know, literally, of course, it means he's going to spend the money and merchandise and so on, the business, but on the appointed time for the day of our festival. What does this mean? According to the Gemara, Amin and Mayor seek to entice Nebuchadnezzar. We learned about this, to march on Yerushalayim, to conquer it, because the prophets had all predicted the destruction of Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. So Ammon and Moab, who were weak, and they were neighbors of Israel, they were very weak, so they sought to entice the others, Nebuchadnezzar, to attack Yerushalayim, and they assure him that Hashem will not come back yet, before the completion of the 70 years of exile. So it says, now is the time to take vengeance because the Navi predicted 70 years of exile, and now you have time that you could overpower and destroy Yerushalayim. So that's the idea that God like picked up the Tzror HaKesef and he left and he's not going to come back until 70 years of the end of exile. Hutato Berov Likho. Now she swayed him. This poor fellow supposedly had no such intention when he went, we're getting back to the man, when he was walking by her house. But with her talk, she talked berov, with a lot of enticement. She kept bechelek very smooth. Bechelek svoseho tadichenu. With the smoothness svoseho of her lips, tadichenu, she entices him. What does it mean, she entices him? The word comes from mesis umediach, that a person sins, umediach, and he causes other people to sin. So the idea of modiach comes from pushing away, that you push this person off of the path. So merev svoseo tadichenu, she pushes him off of the path. Now, what is his response to all of this? L'chere, he didn't have any such intent before. But heilech achareho, he follows after her. Pitom, immediately, kishor, like an ox, el tevach yove, that comes in to be slaughtered. That means that just like an ox is always considered, right, a dumb ox, mele, the sheep has to go to the slaughter, they can pull him. The ox you can't pull. It's a dumb ox who goes to the slaughter. So this person also, like, he has lost all control over himself. In kishor el tevach yavo, ukeeches, and also like a viper, el musar evil, like a snake. Rashi says it runs quickly as an agent of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to chastise the fool. So does this one run after her until he stumbles on her and her arrow splits his liver. So the idea is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam uses different things to trap those who have to be trapped. He also runs after her, ukeeches, and as a viper, el musar, to give chastisement, evil, to the fool. So she is like a viper who goes to chastise the fool. The Rashi says he runs after her until he stumbles on her. So just like a snake runs quickly as an agent of Hashem to chastise the fool who was condemned by Hashem, so does this one run after her until he stumbles on her. Then he brings down here from his parish Ibn Nachmiah, just as the ox that is brought into a slaughterhouse doesn't realize that he's going to lose his life, so this fool realizes also not that the woman with whom he is intimate is trapping him with her fetters. Like the sturdy chain, some interprets a sturdy eches as being a chain. That's the way the Ibn Ezra says. Just as he is being trapped like a sturdy chain used to chastise the fool. The fool doesn't realize that the chain tied around his foot is meant as a chastisement, thinking that it means it's an ornament. The fool, you know, thinks that it's an ornament, and actually it is a chastisement. So this fool running after her, so she is compared like a viper or a chain, but both ways, this fool, he's oblivious to the idea that this is his downfall. When he finds out is when the retribution comes about. That retribution already too late, because ad yefalach, until yefalach means it makes a hole or splits. Chetz, a arrow, kvedo, his liver. Once when, like, the liver is split, then already he'll learn his lesson. So it's like the divine retribution, splitting his liver. She won't be able to live long, but it's already too late. Ad yefalach, until it splits, chetz kvedo. Kimaher tzipor elpoch, like a bird rushes to the snare. Why does a bird rush to the snare? Because there's a little bit, the mitzvah is a little bit of grain, seed, to attract him. Not realizing that this little bit of seed is his life giving up. We say that expression, we say also that a person is not that much different. We say a person is benafsho yovi lachmo. Moshel kecheres anishba keitz yovish kezif. So BMS, we're likened also to a fleeting thing, but the benafsha yovel achmo is a very strong term. And a person has to make that determination How much of his nefesh is he giving up for his lechem? Because the truth is that nefesh is the soul, the neshama, and the body is the lechem. And there's supposed to be a certain partnership in this world, which is constantly in conflict until the body loses out. Sometimes the body loses out and the soul goes back alive. Sometimes the body overwhelms the soul and there's no soul left when the body is finished with its mission. But anyway, the benafshe yove lachme, when you look at it as a phrase of its own, is very comparable to what Shlomo HaMelech is saying here. Kimaher tziper alpach. For a few grains, sometimes a person runs. And everybody has this kasoin, really. The leyodan, they don't know that ki benafshe, who? That it's with his life. That means, what is he running there? He's running there for the few grains. But he doesn't realize that he's sacrificing benafshe. So when you have to go after the physical needs and so on, you have to realize that it's benafshe. Ki benafshe, who? I wanted to bring it in, my wife, I saw it laying around in one of the rooms. It says like this, that when you get up in the morning, I think that I have now in my hands the dearest possession that a person could have, a day of life. When you get up in the morning, you face a day of life. Now, a day of life is the dearest possession that a person could have because it's not on the stock market. You really can't deal on it and you can't buy it. Now, you pray to God that he should give you the wisdom, that you should be a smart businessman, in a sense, that you shouldn't use up this great possession for frivolous, meaningless, foolishness things. If a person would think about that, his whole life would be different. And the truth is, it's absolutely true. So, in a sense, it's also benafshe yovi lachme, and you shouldn't be like, you have to realize that you have to have what to eat. The tzipor has to have what to eat. But the person has to realize that it's that he's giving up that which is dearest to him.